on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. This is Jane Longhurst.
Nairi Hobbins is in the studio, ready to provide advice on how to eat well and how to look after yourself. As I said earlier, Nairi's a nutrition consultant and dietitian, as well as being an author on those subjects. So she's here to talk about food and especially food for older people. Great to see you, Nairi.
So lovely to see you, Jane. What a treat.
Oh, that's very kind. But as I said to you, just as Genesis was winding up, you practice what you preach, Nairi.
Yeah, most of the time you're right. But we all have our treats. I had some treats at the Dark, the Winter Feast last night, which was nice, as well as some lovely, wonderful, freshly cooked local produce. It was fabulous. It was so much fun. I love winter and the experience of that winter feast and just sitting there and watching people going by and, you know, the smoke and the lights and it was great. Music.
Out of interest, how long did you have to queue for?
We arrived, I had to work until 4-ish or 4:30, and we got there at 5 and didn't have to queue very long at all. I think it was just a really good window. We were talking about this. I wonder whether people thought, oh, it's going to be terrible weather, because it had been earlier in the day and had made other plans. Mm-hmm. And then about 6 or 7 went, oh, we can come after all because it's not terrible weather. I think it was busier later, but I like sitting outside, so I'd go inside for a little while, but I didn't stay in there. But there seemed to be queues wanting to go back into the big building. But yeah, I like it outside. It was nice. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't actually cold.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't cold. No, it was really quite pleasant last night. It was cold this morning. Suddenly you go, oh, finally.
Oh, yes, that's like right. Yes, that and Eastern Front, that was very odd.
This morning, I drove down the Southern Outlet. It was glorious and you could see the Jerry sitting on the water, and then you arrive in town and it's foggy. I had to go across the other side to pick something up before I came back here, and Tasman Bridge was still at 9:45, still enshrouded in the Bridgewater Jerry, the fog.
Well, if you're heading along to Winter Feast, I do encourage you. I think that the trick is either getting there early or possibly getting there later. But I think it's going to do a roaring trade looking outside my window just over my shoulder. Mm. Even now I see blue sky that I haven't seen for days. Yes. So do enjoy and take care out there. I thought I might ask Nairi, if I may, just very quickly, as we age and our lives shift and evolve, and suddenly you don't have to be up at 6 or 7 a.m., so, and you need more sleep. Older people need more sleep. If you're waking up, therefore, much later, like we're talking mid to even late morning, is it still okay to sort of wake up and crack open with breakfast, or should you kind of really make that lunch and dinner and try and observe those meal times?
Because it doesn't really matter what you call the meal, I suppose.
No,
what matters is that it's how lovely though to get to the stage you just have brunch. It doesn't matter. But what you need to focus on when you're older, and I think my mother's in her late 80s. I think you're talking about people who are in their, that sort of age and older. What's important is to make sure that meal that you have, and as soon as possible after you get up, actually, is some good protein in it. So either you're looking at good eggs and bacon, those sort of things, so you're getting good protein onto your plate. Or if you're not keen on those sort of things, if you're going to have fruit and yogurt or something like that, you actually, if you're older and you need to maintain, you're probably looking at fortifying that yogurt with some extra protein. So I would suggest either mixing in some skim milk powder into your yogurt so it dissolves in, or using lots of nuts and seeds if you're into those things. Sometimes people don't like them with dentures and things like that, but nuts and seeds are high in protein. So the fruit and yogurt is good food, but it doesn't have much in the way of protein, and the protein is what you really need for your muscles. So it's focusing on that, making sure that you spread your protein meals through the day. And I guess, same chat we were chatting before we started, but that I have with my own mum, and I sort of say, well, if you do get up at 11, that's not really a problem, but how do you fit in enough food through the day, and are you staying up late? And sometimes she is. So then you need to look at having a good supper. So before you go to bed, you have to have something that's got good protein as well. And that could be something as simple as a hot drink, like a milk drink that's got added protein to it, and affects your commercial relatively common things, I shouldn't use brand names, but things like Milo and whatever, they're actually added protein because they're based on a milk powder. So if you make up one of those drinks or a high protein drink of some sort, or you make your regular chai or something or other and you add extra milk protein. Or Kai's husband loves the golden latte sort of thing. So that's got turmeric and the like in it. And then you add the extra protein before you go to bed, then you're getting a bit of protein as well and it's spread. And then overnight you can do some muscle replenishing, which helps.
Because that's not good. So the presence of that protein, you know, at say 11 o'clock at night or whatever it might be, isn't going to stimulate you when you go to sleep?
No, it seems to be that for older people particularly, that getting the protein later is actually quite helpful. So it's a matter of getting in the protein. You really need 3 good meals containing protein a day. And if you're getting up at 11 and you only have 2 meals, you might not get enough. That's the problem. So it's spreading it out if possible and getting enough during that time. Not just protein. Of course, when you eat, you're not just eating protein on its own, you're getting other stuff with it, you know, calcium and vitamins and minerals while you eat those things as well. So,
well, it's just ticked over to 18 minutes past 10. My goodness me, time flies. I could talk to you for hours, Nairi. Now, I'm going to embarrass myself again gloriously, not for the first time today, because there's a word in Claudia's text that I don't even know how to pronounce, but I'm going to give it a crack. How do you prepare and cook YACON tubers? Is that yuck? She's not saying bacon tubers. No,
YACON
tubers. YACON.
I would imagine that's a type. I don't exactly know what that is, but I would imagine it's a type of sweet potato or yam,
yes,
or the likes, those sort of things. Unless it's like a ocker, the Tasmanian, we're not quite sure exactly what you're talking about. If it's the ocker type thing, which is a root vegetable that it's actually in New Zealand, I think it's in New Zealand originally, but it grows well in Tasmania. They cook pretty much like potatoes do, but you can also use them in stir fries. You can roast them. But yams and sweet potatoes, which are great fibre sources and really lovely, your bowel loves these things. Anything you like. I mean, you can make them into a mash type thing if you like that sort of thing, but they're great roasted. You can just roast the whole thing or slice it up and make it sort of like chips.
I'm going to share the rest of Claudia's text because she says if you're sensitive to, in the text it says inulin, but I assume insulin.
Oh, right. No, it's inulin.
Inulin.
It's a type of fibre. It's a type of soluble fibre.
Ah.
And people with FODMAP issues, irritable bowel, some people can have issues with inulin. I have to say there are some technical ways of preparing some things that people have issues with. I'm not 100% sure about that. I would think if you went onto the Monash FODMAP, they have a website, there might be information there. If you have problems with some of those ingredients in beans, for example, so canned beans, if you open a can of chickpeas or butter beans or any of those things, the liquid that's in there contains some of the soluble fiber, which is great if people can tolerate that. But if you can't tolerate it, if you rinse that off the beans, then you reduce the amount of that stuff. And that's generally the stuff that can actually cause excess wind in people. I mean, the wind is good because that means the bacteria are doing things. But in some people, the excess is actually quite painful, causes problems. So rinsing that off is useful. So maybe with this particular thing you're talking about, it might be boiling it a couple of times and getting rid of that water would probably help, I would imagine. But go to the Monash University FODMAP site and they might have some more information. Sorry, I don't know exactly.
Well, Claudia has also generously said, I've got a bumper harvest and I have some sets to give away locally if someone is interested in the area. And that's around Gladstone in the beautiful northeast of Tasmania. Cool. So I'm just really fascinated. YACON tubers. Yukon.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, same.
Tino's left the building.
They are a potato, apparently. Okay. But if you've got a photograph, then please, we'd love to receive it. Certainly, tubers. We understand, yeah, but it's this particular kind. Claudia, thank you. Thank you for the text. Now, this is an interesting text. I'm 79, and I can't be bothered cooking for myself. Can you suggest anything quick and healthy?
Yes. The sort of things that are good to have, anything that is the good protein foods at that sort of age are always useful. So things that are easy, well, I find easy, it depends on what you like. Baked beans are a great thing because baked beans are in a can. They're high in good fibre. They're also high in protein. And if you add cheese to that, you get a bonus extra protein. Cheese is high in protein, also high in calcium and relatively high in fat. But in the context of older age, that's not so much of a problem. So cheese on toast is actually a good thing. Baked beans and cheese on toast. A baked bean and cheese jaffle, a ham and cheese jaffle. You don't have to eat actual so-called meals, you know, if you don't feel like it. You just have to be thinking of that. In my book, and the latest one's called Brain Body Food, there is a eating plan that is about basically just a whole lot of effectively snacks that are all higher in protein that you could choose between if you're not actually eating a full meal. There are some, of course, pre-made meals, and you can get meals from things like Meals on Wheels. Meals on Wheels are good. Some pre-made meals will be designed for people who are losing weight or, you know, younger and whatever. And so sometimes they're quite good, but you need to add a bit of protein to some of those to get a bit of extra. And I often say to people, just have some grated cheese on hand and sprinkle it over the veggies in that meal. And then you'll get a bit of extra and it'll apply to you. I notice there are coming out on the market a range. There will gradually be more and more ranges that are more specifically aimed and targeted at people who need higher protein and smaller size meals. So you'll see more of those, not quite yet, but they'll be around prepackaged. So those are the sort of things you're looking at. And have like a barbecue chicken in the fridge for a, you know, snack and eat things like that. So you're looking at veggies, at protein foods, and then just surround it with as many different colours as you can get hold of as easily as possible, even if it's just herbs from the garden. Whatever you can get.
Well, certainly, you know, it's so useful just to have a tin of baked beans. Yeah. My vegetarian son lived off them.
Good food and very healthy food.
Indeed.
Right, I'm looking at the tubers.
Indeed. Oh, yes. So I'm going to sort of share with you. And many thanks. I knew this would happen because someone, if you don't know, just ask a question and one of our listeners will know. Hi, Neri. Yakon is more like a Jerusalem artichoke, cooks like a water chestnut. Right. Can you believe it? It's from the sunflower family and they are delicious. Thank you, Cherie.
Now I recognise what they are. Is that S-H-R? Double E?
It is S-H-A.
Shereen McCammon?
I don't know, Cherie.
Might be my friend.
I noticed there are kisses in the text.
Ah, Cherie, you're lovely. She's my gardening friend and she's the absolute guru on these things. So that you're right. I see that. And if they're more like a Jerusalem artichoke, then some people are going to have trouble with them because they are very high in that inulin fibre. And that is great for your bowel if you can tolerate it, and not great for some people who can't tolerate it. I'd have to investigate how to manage it. But, yeah, I know what that is now. I've got it.
Yes.
Sorry.
High fiber, delicious tuber, which can be eaten raw like apple, peeled and cored, or can be steamed. It's famously high in inulin, therefore low GI.
Yes, so very low GI. That's quite right. I would think that if you were if you did have problems, that fresh would be more of a problem than cooked.
Some more questions coming in, which I love. So let's go to some of those. Liz has asked, you say protein for older people, but Parkinson's requires low protein. What do we do?
Yeah, Parkinson's is a specific case. It doesn't actually require low protein, but what it requires is if you're taking a certain sort of medication with levodopa in it, the problem is that that particular medication has to get into the brain to be effective, and there are carriers across the blood-brain barrier that protects our brain that carry protein in. So if you're eating a lot of protein, you can reduce the effectiveness of the drug. But it's really that you have to eat the protein away from when you take the medication, so you give the chance. So it's actually a timing thing for most people. Occasionally there are people who really are ultra sensitive and it really has to be managed individually, usually with your Parkinson's team and with a dietitian who spends a lot of time working with this. But generally the protein is still good. physical activity is really important in Parkinson's, and often people find it difficult because of movement disorders, of course, but in fact that's one of the really powerful things to be helpful. So if you're doing so, that means you really have to be looking at protein. It's just a matter of having it about an hour away from the medication. So leaving an hour after you've taken the medication till you eat, or 30 minutes before you've taken the medication when you've last eaten. So it's just a timing thing, which I know is a hassle, but it is possible. But get some advice from someone who specialises in that.
Carmel has texted in, "Hi, Nairi. I find baked beans high in sodium. Is this okay?"
Yeah, canned baked beans can have added sodium. Not all of them do. You can look around. You can use any of the canned beans, like cannellini beans or lima beans or any of those, and basically add your own tomato sauce to them if you'd rather do that, or any sort of sauce to them, or throw them into a casserole. We use beans in almost a lot of dishes we cook, we then add some, you know, because it's a bonus to that meal. So even if, you know, we are meat eaters, but even if we're eating a meat meal, we often add into a curry particularly, you're adding things. So you can make your own sauce to go with the beans. Usually the sauce around the regular baked beans does contain a bit of sodium, but the bean itself doesn't. So you could wash it off and put your own sauce on. Seems a bit strange, but, you know, the amount that you'd have, yeah, look for a lower sodium variety.
And that should be, you know, well articulated.
I think there'll be no added salt on the label, or just buy your beans and either soak them from dry and cook them yourself, or buy canned beans, rinse that solution off and make your own sauce.
Now, Joanne has texted in to ask, is tin soup okay?
Yes. The only thing about tinned or one of the issues I have sometimes is with the instant packet, you know, the instant dried soup that you make, cup of soup, that's the word. They're not an issue in themselves. It's just they don't have a lot of nutrition. So what I often say to people is, if you're buying tin soup or if you're buying or using the cup of soup, add some protein to the cup. So you know, skim milk powder is the cheapest one that's available. If you've got one of these protein supplements that doesn't have added flavouring, you can add that in. Mix it in with it. Obviously, that's not really going to work very well with it's not going to work very well with a clear soup. But any of the, you know, if you buy tomato soup or chicken soup or, you know, cream of chicken or anything like that, and you add a protein to that, then you're doing well. And the other thing is, you can also then, if you buy a canned soup, you can throw in some beans or a big handful of grated cheese, or even I use almond meal in soup. It thickens it up a bit and it adds all that protein and all the extra great fats that nuts have. So you can add those sort of things to the soup, and you could just have them on hand. It's not hard. You just throw them in.
Now, Alum suggests that yeast flakes are a great addition to dishes. We were talking just before Chris Rowbottom came in. You're talking about almond meal.
Yeah. They are. There's in the books, I've given a list of sort of high protein foods, and they don't all come to my mind in the same minute. But you're right, yeast flakes are in there and it gives you those tables, it gives you some information about how much what volume you need to get, say, 10 grams of protein. So you can sort of, not that you need to count the grams, but it gives you an idea of a comparison. And other things that are grown locally, hemp protein now is really, you know, hemp, you can add that sort of stuff. That's great. And the oil from that, of course, is also great source of omega-3 fats, which are fantastic. So any sort of nut or seed as well. But yeast flakes are one that's really good.
I want to grab now Christine, who is in Launceston, who has given us a call. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. I drink Long Life Zimmel, the low fat, and I'm just wondering if I'm not getting the value, the same value as what I would for maybe full cream, or could you...
Yeah, and generally the recommendation would say that people who are older, and actually there's wider recommendations, say that there's really not a great necessity for always drinking lower fat milk. And so I wouldn't particularly worry about the choosing the higher fat variety. Zymel, of course, or Zimmel is a lactose reduced milk or lactose free milk,
which seems to suit me better.
Yeah, and lots of people find that's great. And all they've done, lactose is the sugar of milk, so all they've done is remove that or changed it.
So it hasn't
removed any protein, hasn't made any difference. Oh. And so the low fat or the full cream have a similar protein content, and it makes no difference. It's just personal preference, really.
And the long life containers, are they okay?
Yeah. The only difference with those is the way they pasteurise it, just slightly different. And because they go at a slightly higher temperature than your regular fridge stable milk, it just slightly changes. It caramelises a little bit of the sugars in it, so it does have a slightly different taste, but not. It's sort of nice taste, I think, actually. It's not a problem. No problem at all. Very little difference.
Nairi, I'll buy your book.
Good on you. Thanks, Christine.
Yes, not a problem.
Lovely.
And I look forward to the game tomorrow and go Hawks.
Snuck that in.
Thank
that's
you.
Good.
Thank you very much for your call, Christine. I love it. Unfortunately, Christine doesn't have a friend in Erica who sent us a text in Burnie. I set my alarm to listen to Nairi Hobbins. Great interview so far, spoilt by the football waffle intrusion. Fair enough, Erica. I respect your views, and I think Erica subscribes to the AFL, the Anti-Football League. You're quite entitled to your position, of course. Let's just go through a few more texts that have come in. They're such kind of interesting, very particular questions, and I think they're really worth sharing. Julie says, can you tell me what the difference is in the benefit between taking either whey protein powder or pea protein powder? I've been using pea protein powder and wonder if I would benefit more from whey. I'm a lifelong vegetarian and now, in inverted commas, older. Thank you, Julie, for your text.
Well, whey protein, of course, is from dairy, although there is it's from a dairy product. So unless you're consuming dairy, then as a vegetarian, you may not want to be consuming whey. It is there's been some research done on different types of protein and how well it assimilates into muscle, and it does seem that whey protein or whey protein isolate specifically is better at assimilating into older muscle when people do activity. But it's relatively, you know, that we need lots and lots of research to be sure about all those things. But in general, it seems that that is helpful. Pea protein is great protein. It's isolated out of types of peas, and it's not quite as protein dense. So you have to have a slightly larger volume to get the same amount of protein. But anything is good in that. And again, you know, I don't mean to be spruiking the book all the time, but there are tables in there that compare those things, and that's the Brain Body Food Book. So you can get that information and just have a look at how they compare. And the only thing I have at the moment, I have to tell people, be careful of almond milk. There's nothing wrong with almond milk, but it is not the same protein content as milk, as cow's milk. And it really should be. I mean, if you're going to call it milk, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It should be the same protein content. Soy milk is the same protein content of milk, and they make it that way, especially almond milk, unless it says that it's high in protein. If you read the side label, you'll find that it's actually really low in protein. And so, yes, it tastes nice, but if you're relying on it as a part of your protein source, you have to be careful. Almonds themselves are high in protein, but the thing that they call milk, which isn't really milk, but anyway, the thing that they call milk is not particularly high in protein. So be careful of that one. But everything else is.
And good luck if you've got time to sort of read the labels on the side. But it's so educative if you do, that's for sure. Some more texts just coming in, if I can quickly keep up with them. Mary asks, hi, Nairi. I have high vitamin B6, which causes peripheral neuropathy. What foods do I need to avoid? How do I find how much vitamin B6 in what foods I do eat normally? I'm gluten intolerant and eat high fruit, seeds, nuts and eggs.
I would say the best place to go and get yourself a good list that's available. My friend and colleague Catherine Saxelby has a book called Nutrition for Life, I think it might be, or the Food and Nutrition Companion, that's what it might be called, Catherine Saxelby. So, and it gives lists of those things much more specifically. I talk about vitamin B6 in other ways, but it doesn't, and it I do give a varieties, but if you're looking at something very specific like that condition and you want a resource, that's good. Otherwise, I'd suggest it might be worthwhile sitting down with a dietitian yourself and going through and planning a diet for you that would work and help you. Because that's quite a specific condition. But yeah, Catherine's books will be helpful.
Let's take a call from Gaylene, who is in Bothwell. Good morning, Gaylene.
Hello.
Hi, Gaylene.
Hello, Nari. I'm just wondering, I know it's hard to be specific. I'm 65 years old. Would you call me elderly? Do I come into the age group? Well, I wouldn't call myself elderly because I've had arthritis for about 13 years and reading glasses for about the same time, and I've been diagnosed with osteoporosis about 5 years ago, although that's a bit debatable. But would you call 60?
It's 65, it's, you know, it's a word, isn't it? Elderly is a word. But physiologically, what happens is that we're designed to grow into adult bodies from when we're, you know, born. And there's a whole lot of mechanisms inside our bodies that tell you to grow and build muscle and build bones and build organs and, you know, make yourself that adult body. But once you are an adult size, the drivers, the internal drivers that make that to tell you to grow aren't there anymore. So really, technically, once you peak adulthood, from then on, technically, the body is in a different phase, which you could technically called elderly. That'd be a shock to people who are in their mid-40s. but that is the facts. At that stage, things change. You're not told grow, grow, grow every time you eat food. So it is slightly different. In your situation, what I would suggest, and I know with osteoarthritis and also with potentially spinal issues with osteoporosis, that it's difficult to do exercise, but the most important thing is that unless we tell our muscles that they're needed, they don't stay because we don't have all those drivers telling you each time you eat to grow muscle. So you have to try and do whatever physical activity you possibly can, and that is the secret, actually, to being able to be less elderly, for the sake of it, if you're using words, and to actually live well. And then when you're doing that muscle activity, eating at least good protein foods and plenty of good colours to give you antioxidant and anti-inflammatory food protection. So when I say colours, I mean as many different fruits, vegetables, herbs and those and the like that you can add to your plate without, you know, being too much, and fresh and seasonal and local. And also what you might find of benefit is some of these, the good omega-3 oils. So get yourself a good quality olive oil or walnut oil or flaxseed oil, which is you can get in a health food store usually, and just a teaspoon on every meal. That is very useful for keeping and reducing inflammation in your body, which is which makes arthritis worse. So
you
can cook with it, or you can sprinkle it over the top. Olive oil, If you don't stomach it, did you say?
I don't know whether I could stomach.
Well, mix it in there. No, as a teaspoon mixed in to it, like a savoury meal, obviously. That would actually be helpful, I would think.
And why I was asking, do you think 60, I could, technically I'm elderly, I'm just wondering whether the protein with every meal
still the same
applies to me.
Yeah, a protein food at the centre of the meal and surround it with as many colours from fruits and vegetables, herbs and the like as you possibly can. That's still the answer at that from that age on. I would say that from 65 on is the time when that's what you're looking at, yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you, Gaylene. We really appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in. We've only got a few more sort of 30 seconds or so left, Nairi, before we must press on. But I have to go to this text because it's from Murray up in the Midlands. Morning all, I'm in my mid-50s. I work physically for a living. I have for the last 20 years eaten 4 or 5 eggs a day for breakfast. But as I get older, is this still okay?
Yes. There used to be, I don't know why, you know, there was a blip where eggs got a bad rap for a few minutes, and unfortunately they never really lost the bad rap for a little while. The science wasn't actually saying that they were bad, but they just took a while to come out of their bad rap. Look, really, they're good protein, and if you're living up in the Midlands, you possibly are growing your own eggs, but if you're not, that doesn't matter. But if you are, they're eating your local seasonal fresh food. They're really just a step from the animal. From the chicken, and they're good protein. They've got good fats in them. They've got a lot of if the chickens are eating lots of green stuff, then they've got a lot of antioxidants as well. The yellower the yolk, the more antioxidants. So they're great food. I wouldn't be worrying about that. And if over all these years it hasn't caused you any trouble, I think it's unlikely it's going to now.
Good on you. Thank you. Thank you, Murray. We've got one final call. I have to be really quick. Also, someone asks, could you just name the book again and the author, Catherine Saxbury?
Yeah, Saxelby. Catherine with a C, Sax, S-A-X-E-L-B-Y. And I think it's called The Food and Nutrition Companion. But if you Google Catherine Saxelby, you'll find it. And she's a dietitian who writes more generalised books than I do. Mine are very specifically around age groups. Well, I'm a foreman.
Our final call is from Mary in Hobart. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Oh, hello. Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. I've had osteoporosis for quite some time, and apparently I'm osteopenic. But my doctor says that calcium supplements are not the best option because of calcification in your blood, etc. So yes. I'm just wondering, the 1200 milligrams, I think I'm 70, 1200 milligrams is the recommended amount of calcium, but how do you get that just out of your foods?
Dairy foods are the main source of calcium, so it's looking at having enough serves of dairy products a day. If you go to the maybe something like the Dairy Australia website, they actually have very specific information. My books do have it. There is information on calcium. In Brain Body Food, there's a section on that, and on dairy foods. So cheese, yogurt, milk, milk powder, any of those things add calcium. There's also calcium in some vegetables and in some nuts and seeds. And you get a good variety. It may not be absorbed quite as well. You do need to make sure, and I'm sure your doctor would have you on vitamin D if necessary.
Oh, yes,
you have to
definitely
have the combination. Yep. But you're right, calcium supplements taken on their own have been shown to have some problems. So you need to medically manage that. But certainly getting it from foods, the great thing about those foods, the dairy foods, of course, is you're also going to get some protein and other things from them. So it's spreading it out through the day and making sure that you have enough serves. I think it's five or something serves, you know, spread out over the day.
It's quite a lot.
It is a reasonable amount. Milk powder would be one way of adding to it, because
just put that in first.
Yeah, boosting it into. So when you make a coffee particularly, you can throw a spoonful in. You know, it doesn't make a lot of difference to the flavour of the coffee if you normally have milk, but it will boost up that calcium.
But as well
level.
As milk, are you saying? As well as ordinary?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
give it a go.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that.
Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks very much for your call. It's 9 minutes away from 11. We're going to have to wrap it up there. But Nairi Hobbins is always, you know, you're like a crock pot that's offering something really delicious and nutritious, but we just have to have a slow time to sort of bring up all the calls and texts that inevitably end up flowing whenever you are in the studio.
And I just to quickly say that I've also been now have all the recordings of these sessions that I do, which will be soon up on my website. So if people want to review what's been said, it's very lovely. Thank you, ABC, for giving them to me. And now I can, you know, run them too. So, you know, people can access those.
So Nairi Hobbins?
NairiHobbins.com.
Yeah. There you go, NairiHobbins.com. Great to see you again, Nairi.
Lovely to see you, Jane.